Title of my message today is What is Atonement? When we reflect upon the upcoming fulfillments of this Day of Atonement, we foresee the reconciliation of mankind to Jesus, the King, and the binding of Satan for 1,000 years. But what does atonement, the word, mean? How do we define atonement? Let's turn to Leviticus 23. We'll start in verse 27. Leviticus 23, verse 27. Also, the 10th day of the 7th month shall be the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls, that means no water, no food, and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. And you shall do no work on that same day, for it is the day of atonement. So in two verses, we get the day of atonement, to make atonement for you before the Lord your God. That word for atonement, you may be familiar with it in the Hebrew, is Kippur. And you hear the Jews call it Yom Kippur. So that word is actually only used 8 times in the Old Testament. 8 times. It comes from another word that is a singular word. That's right, Kippur is a plural word. And that other word is kafar. And it's a figuratively to expiate or condone, to placate or cancel. Appease, make atonement. Cleanse, disannul, forgive, be merciful, pacify, pardon, to pitch, purge away, put off, or make reconciliation, reconcile. That particular word gets translated in the King James Version English 73 times, atonement, but it's in there 102 times in the Old Testament. In describing one of Aaron's duties on the Day of Atonement, both words are used, most easily distinguished in English by the King James Version of that translation. And that's in Exodus 30, verse 10. Exodus 30, verse 10. And Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of it once in a year. So this happens once a year with the blood of the sin offering of atonements. Once in the year shall he make atonement upon it throughout your generation. And generations, it is most holy unto the Lord. So here Kippur is used and it gets translated atonements, and then kafar used for atonement. In the New Testament, we find more than one word and its plural derivative for atonement. Instead, finding 4 words, and generally speaking, translated as atonement, propitiation, or mercy seat. In most cases, I forgot to turn off my phone. In most cases, in the New Testament, atonement is described as actually relating to Christ's crucifixion. When speaking of atonement in the New Testament, as the Lamb of God at Passover, it's used in 1 John 4:10. In this is love, that not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And this word propitiation is used in several translations, and it's from G2434 in the Strong's, meaning atonement or propitiation. Now that we know what atonement means, propitiation, and propitiation means atonement, are we better off? Well, let's see if we can get propitiation defined just a little more. This is from the Gospel Coalition on their website, and their definition is in line with ours. It's just the way they put it here, I really liked it, and I wanted to share it with you. Propitiation means averting the wrath of God by the offering of a gift. It refers to the turning away of the wrath of God as the just judgment of our sin by God's own provision of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. So you're going to find the use of atonement in the New Testament mainly refers to the death of Christ for us, which happened at Passover. Continuing, although some object to propitiation as a pagan notion of appeasing an irascible deity with bribes and gifts, the idea in the Bible is very different. Because of our sin and rebellion against God, our original communion with God has been disrupted. Remember, all of humankind was at one time Adam and Eve, two people, and they were in the Garden of Eden. And they were in a relationship with their Creator, the Lord. But they sinned. And what happened? Well, he didn't quit loving them, but he did have to kick them out of the garden. Didn't want them to take of the tree of life and any number of reasons, right? And ever since then, for mankind, not you and me, thankfully, right now, but for mankind through history, there's not been a relationship with God. There's not been reconciliation. Continuing, so our original communion with God has been disrupted, and our persons and lives do deserve judgment. The wrath of God in the Bible is the expression of his holiness in the face of our sin. Wrath is what our sin and rebellion justly deserve. Even though God is a God of infinite love, he does not show mercy at the expense of justice. So propitiation is the way that the loving God shows us mercy justly. In the Bible, propitiation, we could say atonement, is not something that we provide to God to get right with him again. It is something that God provides to us that we may be justly and mercifully forgiven and accepted. In other words, a relationship can be started again. And he does this at his own expense through the loving gift of his son, Jesus Christ. So that ends that. Hopefully, this explanation from the Gospel Coalition clarifies the meaning of propitiation and therefore atonement, something mankind has needed since the first sin in the garden. Since that time, mankind's sins have not had a provision made outside of the long-term provision made through Jesus at Passover as the Passover lamb. In other words, what he did it once, for not just for you and me, but for everybody. It's just that not everybody knows about it right now. And I think that's where atonement comes in, the day that we're observing today. So there's another word of referring to atonement. It's G2433. Essentially, I'm going to try to simplify to hurry this along, to be propitious, merciful, or make reconciliation for. And we can find this used in Romans chapter 3. Verse 23 will begin. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. New Living Translation says sacrifice for sin. Young's Literal says mercy seat. Verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. And that's all New King James Version. It's used again, another word for atonement, propitiation, and that's G2435. An atoning victim. It can also be the lid of the ark of the covenant. Or the mercy seat, also meaning propitiation. And here we would go to Hebrews 9 to see it used. Hebrews 9, now I would recommend, we're having services in the afternoon, atonement will be over soon, but you wouldn't it wouldn't be bad if you just actually read Hebrews 9 this evening or tomorrow morning to see all of the associations of this day to Jesus Christ. But here we'll go to verse 5. Above the ark were the cherubim of divine glory, whose wings stretched out over the ark's cover, the place of atonement. So when the high priest came into the Holy of Holies only once a year, this is where he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat. Okay, but we cannot explain these things in detail now, so they've lost a lot of the details about that. The New King James Version uses the mercy seat. So, place of atonement, the mercy seat. 1 John 2:2 also brings this up. He himself is the sacrifice, Jesus Christ, that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the world. New King James Version says propitiation for our sins. That was New Living Translation that I spoke to you. There's G2643, which also means restoration to divine favor, atonement, or reconciliation. And we read about this in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 11. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Remember, he's talking to Christians. He's talking to you and me. And so I'm just sort of wheedling my way over to where how atonement applies. But we need to understand that we were atoned for by Jesus Christ at his death. Hebrews 2:17 reads, using the same word, therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. You know, we know he's coming as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he is our faithful high priest. In things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Let's start to close this down by going to Leviticus chapter 16. This is where we get the procedure for the two goats. Verse 7, and he shall take the two goats and present them before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the two goats. In other words, these are two innocent kids of the goat. Goats, they're just little bitty goats. Okay, they've not done anything wrong. Okay. One lot for the Lord and the other lot for the scapegoat. So they come in. They didn't get prepared 10 days ahead or one day ahead. They come in and you still don't know which one's going to be which. Okay. And then you draw the lots, and one's for the Lord and the other for the scapegoat. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him. This is the bad goat. He's not the bad goat, but because we associate him with Satan, right? When we think about Satan being put away. But this is just a goat. And so to make an atonement with him and to let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering, the one that the lot that fell to the Lord, which is for the people. Bring its blood inside the veil, do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. Remember, Jesus is now our high priest. He's already shed his blood. He's the perfect righteous sacrifice. He's now our high priest. He does this in figuratively. Okay, verse 16. So he shall make atonement for the holy place. This goat also makes atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgressions for all their sins. And so he shall do for the tabernacle of meeting which remains among them in the midst of their uncleanness. So you see two atonements, and that may be why it's Kippur, because that's a plural. Leviticus 16, verse 21. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, confess over it all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions concerning all their sins. And if you read Hebrews 9, you will find that these are sins done in ignorance. Something we can think about when we think about mankind being entering into a relationship with God again. Concerning all their sins, putting them on the head of the goat, and shall send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a suitable man. The goat shall bear on itself all their iniquities to an uninhabited land, and he shall release the goat in the wilderness. So Jesus the Christ, our Christ, has by his Passover sacrifice paid the full price for our sins and has already become our high priest to our Father on behalf of those called, chosen, and faithful. Jesus, the one slain from the foundation of the world, will again return, having already paid the price for the sins of mankind, a worthy sacrifice to reconcile mankind to himself at his arrival. Since being expelled from the Garden of Eden, mankind has been estranged from the Lord who made them, their creator. But with the return of Christ the King, mankind will again have the opportunity to have a relationship with the Lord, free from the wiles of Satan and his cohorts. So Godspeed the day of the return of our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ, to open the door of reconciliation with mankind and to banish the evil spiritual influences.